and that this fact of reality has only now been proven by modern cutting-edge scientists, is explored at the true facts and realities of life. And what this means is that by not teaching the student how to tap into this inner source of knowledge, traditional academia does more to alienate the student from the source of knowledge that is superior to all the books and libraries of men. See Jesus, the law professor. And if it is true that God and all the answers to the mysteries of life lie before our very eyes, and having ignored the enigma of the twisting of the octaves, science has remained not only ignorant of the enigma of the natural laws wherein, it is our own organic human blindness and limitations that inhibits us from acquiring the higher knowledge we seek, then the only real solution for the person seeking this higher knowledge is to overcome their own cause of inherent human blindness in pursuit of seeking the true source of truth that mainstream religion, philosophy, and science has ignored. The knowledge of the natural laws, and especially the pattern of the law of octaves that the original core disciples of Jesus in the way understood, was the basis of their assertion to others that there is only one teacher, which they portrayed as the true prophet. And this is demonstrated in the words of the Apostle Peter, who is quoted in the homilies of his disciple Clement. Hence, O beloved Clement, if you would know the things pertaining to God, you have to learn them from him alone, because he alone knows the truth. For if anyone else knows anything, he has received it from him. In further explanation, Peter stated that the one teacher and true prophet is within the mind of every one of us. Peter then warns the people, wherefore seek him first of all, and if you do not find him, expect not that you shall learn anything from any other. The problem is that only those who can overcome and prevail over the twisting of the law of octaves and resolve the condition of inherent organic human blindness are able to tap into this inner source of knowledge that eliminates the need for the person from having to learn from books, teachers, and the libraries of men. If we look at the picture of a typical keyboard on the right, can we see the anomaly that the mystics make reference to? What we see is the whole notes represented in the white keys and the half tones in the black keys. Regardless of the fact of whether we understand music or not, what we should quickly recognize is the easily discernible from a purely mathematical perspective, and the fact that if the white keys are representative of a whole note progressive sequence, then why doesn't every whole note interval have a half tone? In the image of the keyboard, the absence of a black key between the third to fourth white keys, and again, the absence of a black key between the seventh to eighth key, should cause us to question why. Why is there no half tone in the mathematical sequence represented in the progression between the third to fourth and seventh to eighth sequence of notes? Moreover, the anomaly remains regardless of what note we begin the sequence on. And if it is true that while the mystics have pursued the causal factor, and have portrayed it as the true source of all human ignorance of man's higher reality, while science has failed to understand the enigma of the anomaly, then those who embrace the wisdom of the scientist over that of the mystic are themselves choosing the path of ignorance and unknowing. When rightly understood, it is the expression of the natural laws that has the effect of fooling our sense of hearing. At important points in the sequence of the natural laws, an enigma exists that causes us to hear a half tone as if it is a whole tone progression. When Gurdjieff portrayed his law of three, it was because the anomaly was predictable in every sequence. Likewise, the same is true of the law of seven and the progression from one octave sequence into the next. And while many mystics have sought the cause of the anomaly, claiming that the effects of the anomaly creates an inner barrier to the development of man's intellect and consciousness, see mental barrier, the vast majority of scientists have ignored the twisting of the laws as if it doesn't matter and has no impact on their pursuits. And from this perspective, the sincere inquiring mind of the rational seeker or investigator should immediately ask the question, why isn't there a half tone between the third and fourth note on the keyboard in musical scale? Though the answer is very simple, the reality that is portrayed is so esoteric and beyond physical reality as we know it, that the most accomplished musicians cannot supply you with the answer to the enigma, an enigma that unknowingly envelops every aspect of our lives and creation. The answer: there is no half tone between the white keys that are next to each other, because the fourth white key in the progression is a half tone that human organic ears falsely hears as a whole tone. When Paul stated to the Christians who he had himself taught what he portrayed the milk of gospel designed for babes in Christ, who were too immature to understand the spiritual meaning of the Gospels, and he was therefore forced to present a parabolic cussy historical account to them, which he called the traditions of Christ and the physical resurrection, an elementary teaching that the church father Origen admitted was preached in the churches for the simple-minded and for the ears of the common crowd who are led on to live better lives by their belief, Origen contra Celsum. It is the natural twisting of the law of octaves that keeps the thinking and cognitive development of organic man earthbound. That prompted Paul to convey the reality to the faith-based Christians that they were incapable of comprehending the spiritual meaning of the gospel when he stated, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." 1 Cor 2:14, see Animal Soul. The question is, why can't the natural organic mind of man comprehend the spiritual meaning of the gospel and the mysteries of the kingdom of God? The answer is, because of the natural anomaly in his senses and organic cognitive reasoning that causes the whole framework of his thinking to remain anchored to the earth, that is, earthbound, that renders him incapable of comprehending anything beyond this three-dimensional reality that he does not at all understand the true nature of. It is important to understand what can be portrayed as the frequency shifts in the intervals that cause what can be called the twisting of the law of octaves within the pattern of mind is portrayed in the Tree of Life. The individual notes of the musical octave is expressed in the progressive mathematical frequency scale in the familiar terms do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, se, and then evolving into the next do of the next subsequent octave. Yet, as demonstrated in the previous link on the twisting of the law of octaves, the frequency steps, the WE here, are not uniform, and while the progression in musical notes sounds uniform to the human ear, what on the surface appears to be a flaw in human hearing exists on all levels of our being. And if we ask the question, why does it matter? What can be portrayed as the twisting of the octaves or laws, when understood and applied holographically to all the natural laws, has the effect of keeping our thinking and perceptive vision and understanding earthbound. What is earthbound? Paul wrote that organic natural man was incapable of comprehending his own higher soul and spiritual reality, see Animal Soul. The gospel itself portrays this realm as the outer darkness of mind and being, see outer darkness. The analogy of Plato's cave portrays mankind as prisoners in a realm of shadow image illusions, see Plato's cave. That modern science has only now begun to confirm the above, and has concluded that mankind is blind to the source of what we see the true facts and realities of life, is a reality that few students of science are even capable of coming to terms with. And therefore, it is because of the twisting of the natural laws that we are shackled to a condition of self-ignorance. It is true that what we see is incomplete shadow images of a higher reality that we are organically blind to, as demonstrated at the foregoing link. Then the whole framework of our thinking based upon the incomplete shadow images is gravely flawed. The twisting of law at the third interval. In music, the octave is expressed in the familiar terms do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si. Do, with the second do being the beginning of the next octave. When the first do is sounded, this is passed on to the second note as represented in the term re. Here is where the problem begins, that is, the second note not only sounds the appropriate note slash frequency, which is re in response to the previous do, but symbiotically on another level, inadvertently, and automatically, starts its own beginning octave independently of the first. What this means is that when the sequence is passed on to the third note, it not only responds to the initial do re by sounding a mi, but plays a re in response to the do played by the second note sequence, as well as its own do in an independently initiated octave. The result is that when the third sequence attempts to pass on the preceding sequences plus its own, the combination creates a false completion, resulting in a twisting of the octave, and what we hear as a full tone is actually a half, resulting in a sequential pattern twisting and going in a different direction other than what we would perceive to be a straight line. This twisting in turn creates a loop, which inadvertently returns the sequence in the direction of its initial beginning. The result is that in the same way that we hear what sounds to us to be a sequence of whole tones, even though it is not, without realizing it, the laws slash octaves turn, and we end up confined into a three-dimensional reality because the laws twist, as demonstrated in the example of the octaves. and we cannot perceive reality beyond the limitations of this world. When the octave twists at the third to fourth sequence, the progression turns back to the earth. It is at the third point in the progression of the laws that test the progression for substance, and having failed the test of wholeness at the third to fourth sequence, is drawn back to the earth, earthbound, by what is allegorically portrayed in the scriptures as satanic forces. In order to be applicable in someone's developmental life, the person must be able to envision what is being presented. Most of what I have written in the above would be meaningless to most people, that is. So, the laws twist, and limitations are placed on your thinking. To the vast majority of people, this reality portrayed in this manner is worthless, that is, they can't cognitively act upon what is being stated. But if I say that there is a monster angel who is striving to keep your thoughts on the earth, keeping you from doing the commandments of God, thereby striving to keep you from entering into eternal life, this allegorical portrayal is something they can act upon in their daily life. In the foregoing, I have capitalized the word allegory because what is portrayed as a fallen angel, Satan, in the scriptures, is actually the personification of a natural law of creation that serves an important purpose in the developmental evolution of mankind. In the parable of the prodigal son, when the son falls under the influence and control of the citizen of the far country, reference is being made to being anchored by the gravity of mind as personified in the allegorical portrayal of satanic earth-bound forces. God and the realities of creation are set before you, but because of the twisting of the natural laws, your perceptive vision fails to evolve beyond a certain point and remains earth-bound and drawn back into the physical/carnal. Why? The purpose of the laws is to evolve the soul to a condition of wholeness level upon level and upon examination. Without the necessary wholeness, you are incapable of comprehending even your own higher soul reality. If your true self is a 12-dimensional being whose consciousness is the perfect balance of male and female, the sum total of all the strengths of the races and divisions among mankind, the sum total of all the experiences of all the lives that the soul has lived since the dawn of time, all that is heavenly, spiritual, and earthly, physical, inner and outer, then it does not take much to realize that few people have anything in common with their true self. Why is there such an enormous difference between the person we are in this world and our true self? Why is there such an enormous difference between an embryo that has begun to form in the womb and a human adult? A reality that I will present throughout this article is the reality that when we emerged out of our mother's womb, we then entered a mental womb whose purpose was to evolve our mind. But unlike our institutions of learning that employ rote programming of the student, this realm is God's university employs experiential knowledge to evolve the soul through the levels of spiritual evolution, which means that we must be presented with choices, and then we mature by living out the choices we have made. And the natural laws that came into being in the Alpha of creation have been imbued with the process of bringing this process of maturation and evolution about in the existence of every soul. In looking at the image of the mind is patterned in the tree of life at the left, spirit is patterned in the top sphere as the source, with its reflective opposite half patterned in the bottom earthly sphere. The first cause of initiation of all thoughts begins in the upper spiritual, male, into its opposite half, female/reflective, in the physical bottom earthly sphere, wherein the connection between the two, mind, raises upward in the process of mental conception. Thus, we have Do, Re, and Me, and it is at that point where, because of lack of wholeness, the progression of the mental octave is subject to testing, and if the test of wholeness fails, subject to the twisting of the progression. When rightly understood, the same universal laws that control the physical are also true in the mental and the spiritual levels of mind and being. All conception in the physical requires the active essence of the male to be released in the womb of the female, where there is the opportunity of an embryo to be formed when the male and female essence combine into one. The same laws that control physical conception are at work in the process of mental conception, and for the progression to arise up into the center column of the tree of life, there must be a merger of positive, male, and negative female to be at one. But this can only be accomplished when the lower earthly nature supports the upper heavenly nature, which means that the lower earthly nature must have been refined as personified in the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed. Therefore, all progression, once the exchange has been made from the first heavenly into the second earthly sequence is determined by the condition and refinement of man's lower nature. Allegorically, this has been personified in the scriptures as the refinement of man's lower animal nature. See organic man ruled over by his lower animal nature. And the construction of the living consecrated temple of the body. See animal sacrifice and the living temple. Thus, for the thought progression to arise up the center and through the tree of life, man's lower nature must be refined and evolved to support his upper spiritual nature. And Adam, male, and Eve, female, must be joined together as one flesh. And this is portrayed in the teaching that was preserved in the Gospel of Thomas, saying 22. These infants being suckled are like those who enter the kingdom. They said to him, "Shall we then, as children, enter the kingdom?" Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male, nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." Women polarized positive at breasts, in the same way that men and women are polarized opposite polarities. Their inherent gender weaknesses, needs and desires are also opposite. Men are polarized positive at the genitals, which empowers the lower animal nature. See organic man controlled by his lower animal nature, and is often totally controlled and consumed by his need to fulfill the appetites of his lower nature. What this means is that while men are easily controlled by the often unmanageable flow of vital, sexual, life force that flows from their genital regions, women, on the other hand, are polarized opposite in the genitals, and thus are able to exert a greater amount of control with respect to their sexuality. On the other hand, women's breasts, which, unlike the animal kingdom, are perpetually enlarged because her body serves a higher purpose than just providing nourishment for infants, is polarized positive in this area of mind. This positive polarization is often seen as being over-emotional, sensitive, empathetic, and much more feeling than her male counterpart, who perceives life through the vision of linear mathematical logic. Thus, the male is polarized negative at that level of mind that corresponds to the breast. In order to receive this higher and more refined vital life force back from his wife, thereby creating a circle between them that initiates mental / spiritual development and the birth of the child of truth within the two that are one. Look around you at the world and you will observe the male's absolute fixation on women's breasts. Why? Not because of their desire to nurse, as some of our psychologists have reasoned, but rather because they possess an absolute need for the vital life force energy from that region of mind where women are polarized positive. The problem is that because they fail to comprehend the divine pattern and do not realize that they can only receive this vital life force from a wife in a genuine marriage, and most women whose thinking and lifestyle have been molded by our culture and modern society are sexually polluted and cannot provide the man the mental / spiritual nourishment that they, men, crave, see sexual immorality. They continually look to other women in search of what they can only receive from just one, who is their genuine wife. The problem is twofold, that is, neither the men nor the women are able to fulfill the biological, mental and spiritual needs of their respective spouse / partner. So they look to others instead of developing the depth of the relationship between themselves. Men are constantly looking at other women, and are therefore expelling their vital life force, that is. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Matt 5:28 NIV. Their female partners dress provocatively so as to be seen as sexual objects, flirt with other men, so they can feel the energy within them stir and move their positively charged sexual centers and work outside the home in their endeavor to be with others, acquire materialistic things, and maintain a state of independence from their spouses. While this may be a marriage in the eyes of this world or the church, it is not genuine in the spiritual meaning of the marriage relationship where the two become one flesh. Carnal man is literally staving for the higher reality and vital life force that he craves. Woman feels incomplete, as if she is deprived of sex and fulfillment, because she cannot raise up and release the energy within herself. The problem is not only her own inability to raise up this energy passed on to her by males, but there are no males who are able to receive it from her. She therefore feels unsatisfied, discontent, and ungratified in her life. Some women feel that they will achieve the satisfaction they desire by going out to work, being independent, and making their way in the business world. But this is not the solution. The problem is that she is incomplete, and even when she attempts to enter into a relationship with a man, in time her incompleteness will return. She craves to express herself, to strive for higher meaning, to feel complete. But because of her inability to enter into a genuine marriage where she can raise herself up to new spiritual heights, she is destined to remain discontent and incomplete. The men, on the other hand, unknowingly crave what only a genuine wife can provide to him. Being polarized negative at that part of the mind associated with the chest, he feels a great void in his life that he falsely interprets as a lack of sex. He unconsciously is drawn to women's breast, because that is the source of bioenergy he desires and craves. He therefore seeks out many women in search of what he can receive from only one. He often is addicted to pornography and nudity, intoxicated with the naked female form, and especially the breasts, ever searching for what he cannot have and possess, bound to the elemental things of this world through the unquenchable appetite of his senses. Adet at the application of the law of octaves and the real trinity. Why does the Gospels portray man as having been born blind, incapable of comprehending not only the spiritual meaning of the Gospels, but also his own higher soul reality? Why can't mankind know God? Why can't mankind see God? Why is the mind of man limited in his cognitive ability? Does mankind possess the ability to comprehend the mysteries of life and the universe? The answer to this question is affirmative, that is, man has the innate ability to know the truth of all truths, and the source of this truth exists at the essence of his own consciousness. And it is only a matter of understanding the natural laws and putting one's understanding into action. One of the primary teachings of the original Gospels was to reveal to the seeker/disciple how to prevail over the natural laws that limited his/her consciousness. But because the Gospel teachings were corrupted, the body of teachings are no longer as effective at opening the mind of the seeker/disciple to the higher truth of all truths. Therefore, many people seeking the answers to life have rejected the doctrines of the church, and they instead pursue the path of science. But because the vast majority of scientists lack an understanding of the natural laws which control the consciousness of mankind, there exists great voids that act as great obstacles in the path of scientific inquiry and higher understanding. As an example, why can't science comprehend the mysteries of the universe? Robert Jastrow, an astrophysicist who headed the NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, pointed out that the Big Bang is not exactly an explanation of cause. He is quoted in the Aquarian Conspiracy. If a scientist really examines the implications, he would be traumatized. As usual, when the mind is faced with trauma, it reacts by ignoring implications. In science, this is called refusing to speculate, or by trivializing the origin of the world by calling it the Big Bang, as if the universe were merely a firecracker. Mr. Jastrow then continues and states, "Consider the enormousness of the problem. Science has proved that the universe exploded into being at a certain moment." It asks, "What cause produced this effect? Who or what put the matter and energy into the universe? Was the universe created out of nothing, or was it gathered together out of pre-existing materials?" And science cannot answer these questions. It is not a matter of another year, another decade of work, another measurement, or another theory. At this moment, it seems as though science will never be able to raise the curtain on the mystery of creation. In an article, "Things That Science Can't Explain" by Dr. Claude Swanson, he writes, "There are many things modern science cannot explain, and yet they occur anyway. This includes phenomena in the hard sciences as well as in the paranormal. These effects are now being proven in the laboratory, even though they defy present scientific theory. These unfolding mysteries point the way to a new, deeper science, a science which no longer denies spirit and consciousness, but acknowledges and embraces them. In the past 3 decades, scientific evidence has accumulated showing that the present scientific paradigm is broken. Why is limitations placed upon the intellect and mind of mankind? The answer, because he does not understand what can be called the law of octaves, and as warned by the enlightened deists of the past, in his organic condition of mind, man lacks an understanding of the natural laws as personified in the laws of nature and nature's God. and in not understanding what these same enlightened deists portrayed as the foundational theology of what is known as the clockmaker universe. Even the purpose of life remains an unknown and unconquerable enigma to even the most intelligent among mankind. Yet, because of the effect of the law of octaves, the answer to all the mysteries of life perpetually lie before man's eyes. But until we learn why we are blind to our own higher soul reality, we will continue not to see the answers to the very life we are living. See the three causes of human blindness. To further clarify this statement, there is no such thing as secret knowledge, that is, God, and the knowledge of all the mysteries of creation lie before our very eyes, but we remain blind to our own higher reality. Why? Because we are ignorant of the purpose and effect of the natural laws working upon our mind and consciousness. Can these laws be overcome? Yes, with the knowledge of the natural laws, their purpose in mankind's development, and the proper application of the laws in the person's life. While few people have ever heard of the law of octaves, what they fail to understand is the fact that the inability of the organic human ear to hear the twisting of the natural laws causes us to remain ignorant and alien to both our own true self and man's higher reality. To understand the natural laws, it is important to recognize that there exists an anomaly in the hearing of organic, natural man. And while we can observe this anomaly in our sense of hearing, the anomaly is holographically true with not only all our senses, but also our cognitive abilities. And from a scientific perspective, this anomaly can be easily proven, but is for the most part ignored. An anomaly is defined as an abnormality, a blip on the screen of life that doesn't fit with the rest of the pattern. In the case of the musical scale, there exists an anomaly that is inconceivable to the vast majority of both musicians and mathematicians, which they cannot explain, and because they cannot explain it, for the most part, they ignore even the existence of the anomaly. The law of octaves inhibits all sequential progressions from moving in a straight line. Though the pattern of the natural laws is present throughout all of creation, the movement of the laws is perhaps easiest to see, hear, and observe in music. And in pursuing and understanding, it is important to be cognizant of the reality that a musical note is a mathematical frequency that we are able to hear and detect with our ears. In the same way, like the octave, there are seven colors within the spectrum of white light that is representative of frequencies that we see with our eyes. And in the consciousness of mankind, each of these frequencies are representative of a level of consciousness. See the source of soul light. And when rightly understood, the anomaly in our hearing is in accord with a pattern of the laws, and this pattern is replicated into all the laws of creation. And from a paradoxical perspective, while the effect of the anomaly can on one hand be seen as a limiting factor that inhibits our mental advancement, it is this same limiting factor that is necessary to open the door to our eventual enlightenment. Again, let me stress the fact that while the manifest laws at work can be demonstrated more easily in music, its far-reaching reality is prevalent throughout all aspects of life in this world and beyond. Recognizing the universal laws, it is written, having once established music as an exact science, Pythagoras applied his newly found law of harmonic intervals to all the phenomena of nature, even going so far as to demonstrate the harmonic relationship of the planets, constellations, and elements to each other. See the Pythagorean theory of music and color. And when rightly understood, the only difference between the intervals and twisting of the laws of octaves is portrayed in music, then, is that the same sequence of the laws that is easily observed in the notes of a musical scale is more difficult to observe throughout the other aspects of life, but quickly becomes apparent once one is cognizant of the pattern and sequence. Why is the knowledge of the movement of the laws important to not only seekers, but all of mankind? Because our ultimate success or failure in life is often the result of the natural laws bringing about the envisioned results. And while it is true that the natural laws impose a limiting factor upon man's acquisition of knowledge, the limitations are necessary in order to prepare us to receive and comprehend the higher knowledge we seek. Giordano Bruno and G.I. Gurdjieff both understood the intervals of the laws as manifest in the law of octaves, with Gurdjieff portraying his laws of three and the law of seven in the centerpiece of his teachings, as presented in a diagram of the enneagram as seen in the image on the left. P.D. Uspensky wrote in his book, In Search of the Miraculous, with respect to the enneagram being a symbol of consciousness, speaking in general, it must be understood that the enneagram is a universal symbol. All knowledge can be included in the Enneagram, and with the help of the Enneagram, it can be interpreted. And in this connection, only what a man is able to put into the Enneagram does he actually know. That is, understand. What he cannot put into the Enneagram, he does not understand. For the man who is able to make use of it, the Enneagram makes books and libraries entirely unnecessary. Everything can be included and read in the Enneagram. A man may be quite alone in the desert, and he can trace the Enneagram in the sand and in it read the eternal laws of the universe. And every time he can learn something new, something he did not know before. Take particular note of the words. For the man who is able to make use of it, the Enneagram makes books and libraries entirely unnecessary. It is inconceivable to the vast majority of people how a person who is able to apply the tenets of the Enneagram would no longer need books, teachers, the libraries of mankind. Why? Because few people comprehend the reality and practical application of applying the natural laws to tap into the inner source of knowledge that exceeds all the accumulated knowledge of mankind. See the empty and full mind paradigms of life. Giordano Bruno confirms the above when he stated with respect to this inner source of knowledge that within every man there is a soul flame kindled at the sun of thought, which lends us wings whereby we may approach the sun of knowledge, and that the vast majority of mankind ignore this inner source of knowledge, was confirmed by Bruno in the words, "The divine light is always in man, presenting itself to the senses and to the comprehension, but man rejects it."